I want you to turn your Bibles to Matthew 10. I'm going to build you up. Matthew 10, and there is a marvelous word here that God's been putting on my heart. And we begin with verse 34, Matthew 10, 34. You got a new taping. I'll give you the proper pronunciation, the proper understanding of this verse. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. Now remember, it's the Prince of Peace that is speaking. And he said, you think I come to send peace, but you better understand what he said. He said, I didn't come to send peace among carnal men in the carnal realm, in the earth area. Where there is sin, there is no peace. Where there is carnality and vile vice, there is no peace. I don't want to have any peace with them. I'm at war.
Amen.
Hallelujah. With evil. And I said, Jesus, you think that I came to send peace on earth? And the word on earth there is the key word, because it meant in the carnal realm. I have not come to send peace with carnality. I came for war. And the war is going to, I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be them of his own household. You see what I'm saying? In other words, what you are experiencing, especially you sisters, what you are experiencing is war.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. In other words, you were at peace one time.
Oh,
you had a good time with carnality.
Not really.
Well, somehow you entered into it willingly.
Hallelujah.
And one time you might have enjoyed it very much.
Mm-hmm.
But I tell you, the thing begins to get against your nerves.
Mm-hmm.
And the more you get into God, the worse it's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
It won't be better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody said, oh, it says can talk that he's an old man. You make a sad mistake. If I look old, I'm not old. And old men and old women have the same feelings as young men and young women have.
True.
So don't deceive yourself. Because the word of God is for the young and the old, for every stage and every age. And you had better believe it, that God has sent, is at war with the things that we are at peace with, some of us. And this is the clash that must come in your home.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yes. The Bible said if the unsaved wants to depart, let him depart. Don't go running him down with chains. I'm tying him to your bedpost.
No.
You're looking for trouble. In other words, God says that if the thing gets too hot on the man and he can't take it, in love, let him go if he wants to go. He may come back for some more. Oh yeah. He might go and come back for some more, because if he loves you, then he has a love for God. If you are in Christ, and a man who is not in Christ loves you, there is something there about God that he loves. Did you know that? Oh, yes. Because you are sending off energy from God. You are feeding on energy from God. And if the man will abide with you, let him abide. Let him abide. If he can't stand you and he has to go, let him go. Sometime he goes for a while and he will come back. But be careful you don't get all mixed up with something else, the world. If he's mixing, going back and forth, then he's playing a game.
Yeah.
But you know, that's not what we really want to talk about this morning. Hallelujah. We just want to talk about the war. The war that we are undergoing. And how it's going to get worse before it gets better. I'm sorry, I'm not promising you much this morning. But God is saying that the war that you're experiencing in your homes, he said he sent a sword into your home. The war you're experiencing in your homes, you're going to experience those in your workplace. You're going to experience it on the street. You're going to experience it from government. When you hear that they have arrested Brother Cesar, they have arrested so-and-so, and they charge him with so-and-so, and so, don't believe it. Don't believe it. You know that they're going to make up something to get some of us. And they're not going to win.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. They have the brother over in Nebraska, they're in prison.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know if they arrested him yesterday again. But he, if any of you heard of the news, but he on Friday, he came back to Nebraska and took 200 people with him, locked himself up in the church. What are they arresting him for? The prisons are overcrowded. What are they putting Christians in prison for? Because they have school. Can you understand that? Some of the murderers are let out. Down in Miami, the judge gave an order to let go some prisoners because they don't have any place to put them. And over in Nebraska, why didn't he send them over to Nebraska? You know, if they don't have enough place. But what they're doing there, they're putting Christians in prison because they keep their children, they want to teach their children themselves. Can you understand that in a land like this? I can understand it because the Bible says this is where it will start. Oh yes, the Bible said that the woman is going to be persecuted by the democratic world. You didn't know that was in your Bible?
No.
Well, I'm going to have to find that and show you. But then, the persecution in your home, the sword is out. The sword is out. And yeah, let's go on a little bit and hear Jesus' advice. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. Were you thinking of putting down your cross? He that taketh not his cross and follow it after me. And in Luke it says daily. Giving you an idea of what God's talking about. Is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Praise God.
Amen.
He that receiveth you, receiveth me, and he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. So if you understand what this passage is talking about, even the husbands that love the wives and take care of them and receive them, hallelujah, God says he'll get a reward.
Sure.
And sometimes it is the reward that brings him into salvation.
Mm-hmm.
So don't be afraid if he goes away. Or if he says things that are, you know, not complimentary. Because you have the power and the upper hand. As Sister Wilna just read, we just read what she said. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. You know, when you see the devil rearing up his head and going, getting on bad, remember that thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. He doesn't give it up to them. So it's not they who have the power. But let me just touch on this little part here, verse 41. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. In other words, God sends a prophet to you, or God sends a ministry to you, and you receive him. He's a nice person. You receive him as a nice person. You receive him as a visitor. You receive him as a friend. But you don't receive him as a prophet bringing the word of God directly to you. You're in trouble. You must receive him as a prophet. In other words, this is what God sent to us, and we're going to receive him as that. Sometimes we forget. You understand? I was hearing a story recently. One of us went to a place with a message from God, directly a message from God. And when we sat down, the brethren talked and they sang, and one brother got up and said, "Well, we're not looking to Brother Sess for the word. We're looking to God." In other words, we don't want to necessarily hear him. Mm-hmm. But the man was sitting down there with the word of the Lord waiting. And the brother rambled around and spent the whole night and talked different things and never got to hearing the message. Mm-hmm. That's rejection. So we have to be careful when we receive a person, what do we receive him as? See what I mean? If I meet you as a good person, and a nice friend, and I don't meet you on the basis of my sister-in-law, there is some problem there. There's a lacking. There's something lacking. I've got to meet you on the basis of being a child of God, a son of God, my sister in the Lord, my brother in the Lord. See, in other words, discerning the body of Christ. Because the scripture said, if you don't discern the body of Christ, you will get sick and die. Did you understand that? Did you ever understand? Because they don't see the body of Christ. They see church organization. They see pastor as head. They see this. They see that. They don't see the body of Christ with Jesus standing over as the head. So God is saying to us that this morning we must have our perspective right. We must be able to see one another, know one another for what they are, for who they are, and approach them and treat them as our brothers and sisters in the Lord. Now, once someone asks for the relationship in the church, and remember, God says, don't call any man father, don't call any man master, but he said the relationship is, how do you treat the older men in the church? Treat them as your father. How do you treat the younger men in the church? As your brothers. How do you treat the younger girls? As your sisters. And the older men as your mother. The older women as your mother. And if you treat one another with that kind of relationship of love, you will be in the right perspective. You'll be seen right. And you'll be discerning the body of Christ. Mm. Let's go on. We turn to Revelation. Turn to Revelation 12. You have heard that in the last time there is going to come a persecution. But I want you to look at it right now as something that is imminent. 12. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. Now, the moment you read this in heaven and you have a woman there, you must know that it's not the heaven up there God's talking about. He's not talking about the heaven of heavens where God and his angels dwell. He must be talking about another heaven. Why? And she being with child, travailed in birth, and pain to be delivered. You hear of pain. There's no pain in God's heaven up there. Mm-hmm. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon. There's no dragon up there. Are you with me?
Mm-hmm.
You're so silent.
Mm-hmm.
There's no dragon up there. So we're going to have to understand that this heaven God is talking about is God's dwelling place, not in the heavenlies, in the realms of light, where Jesus and the Father and the angels and Peter and Paul and James and John are. But it is a heaven down here. And the woman is the church. You know, we don't want to go into the details, but we can discuss it. Anybody have a question afterwards, you ask and we get into some more details. But the woman is the church. Some poor, wretched people say the woman is Mary. And how could Mary get into Revelation? You know what I mean? And having a child in Revelation. Revelation is the end of all. The coming together of the whole Bible. And so we find then that the church is this woman that is pregnant with something new, something great, something powerful. That's what you got there. Yeah, right now, the church is pregnant right now with something marvelously powerful and wonderful is coming forth in us.
Praise the Lord.
Even you testified this morning that something new is happening.
Amen.
Amen. You got to be dead not to know that something new is happening around here. Not just here, everywhere.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. New life. Hallelujah. Is coming. You know? From the husband of the church, of course. And the new thing that's coming forth within us. And this red dragon appeared having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his 7 heads. Wait. 7 crowns. All right. Now let's analyze this. The dragon, the red dragon, is Satan's kingdom. Satan and his kingdom. You notice it's red. Destroyer, killer. Blood is red also. The Russians are red also. And the Catholic is red also. That's the 3 things I know red. Red blood, the reds, and the Catholic Church is red. Everything red. You ever seen a Catholic procession going down the street? Mm-hmm. Red banners, red robes, red caps, red. See, that's their color. Okay. Now, I'm going to tell you these things, and if you want proof for it afterwards, you take a note and we'll get into the scriptures. But I'll just tell you, this is the things that it will take you years to study and find out for yourself. That the heads are the kingdoms. Are you with me? The heads are the kingdoms, are the governments. And the horns are the men who head the government. Right? Now, if you take a note of that, heads are kingdoms and horns are men. Now, His tail drew a third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. Those are the men who are falling from righteousness now. The mighty men who you see falling around us so often right now. But we'll leave that alone. If you go on to chapter 13, you see another dragon. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns. Huh? Just like the other beast. No, it's the same 10 horns. Same 10 horns. And upon his horns, 10 crowns. And upon his heads, the name of blasphemy. Huh?
They had 10 crowns. This one's got 10 crowns.
10 crowns?
The other one did
2. They had 7.
No, 7 crowns.
Well, wait a second, 7 heads.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, let me show you the difference between the two beasts. The first beast system, and this is the one that's persecuting the woman. The woman, the man-child, is being persecuted by the beast. So it identifies the time when this beast will be in power. Mm-hmm. The time when the man-child is coming forth. So if you feel a pregnancy in God right now, that if you feel that there's something within you rising up, something new coming forth, then that is the man-child that is in you. So where is the beast? Amen? The beasts are the governments that are persecuting the church. Almost every government on earth is against the church right now, including the government of the United States. And the government of the United States is divided up into different states, and all the different states are going to follow Nebraska. You hear me?
Mm-hmm.
This is what we are facing. Now you ask me, but says, how can we prove that this is the democratic governments of the world? You see, the heads have the crown, and the crown is the power. Doesn't the crown represent the power?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh yes, you see, the Queen of England has a crown. She is the head of the government of England and the empire. So the crown represents the power. So the power is not on the horn, it is on the head. So it is a democratic system whereby the people or the government itself has the power, not the individual horn. Are you there with me? Come on now. You miss me? Are you missing me? Anybody missing me, or are you getting me? You see?
Can you say that one more time about the horn?
Good. The head is the government. And the horn is the man who head the government. In other words, if a bull is going to butt you with his horn, it is the head that drives the horn. So the head has a crown on it. If the head says no, 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 then the horn can't do anything. But if the crown is on the horn, then the power is on the man, the individual. He's a dictator. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So this beast that is persecuting the woman are the governments of the world as we know them now, and not necessarily a one-man rule system. I'm going to show you something peculiar right here on this leopard business. In verse 13, chapter 13 of Revelation there, you have verse 2, and the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a beast bear, and the mouth of a lion. Dragon gave him his power. That is, the first beast gave all its power over to this totalitarian beast. See, this totalitarian beast is like a leopard, and is strange. The bear represents Russia. The lion represents the British, a whole commonwealth, which is a quarter of the world, and the leopard was the symbol of Alexander the Great, the swift. Yeah, Alexander the Great. You see, he had taken over the Persian kingdom, the whole world, and he used to have swift horses, and he would set himself like a mile or 2 miles from a city, and in those days 2 miles was quite a far distance, and this army would stop at a mile out of the city, and all of a sudden his swift Arabian horses would let loose, and how long a horse take to do a mile?
3 minutes.
2 or 3 minutes. So in 3 minutes that city would be hit by savage men hacking them to pieces. That's how they did. So it is the swiftness of his attack. That's why he had the symbol of the leopard. Now France was the one that took the symbol of the leopard. And I do believe that this Antichrist man is going to rise up out of France. So the scripture said that this thing looked like a leopard, but it had the mouth of a lion and the feet of a bear. You see. And what we are seeing, and another scripture said that all the kings will willingly give their power to the beast. So there's a United Nations that is coming after this one. This one might well be dissolved or whatever, but there's one coming that is going to really have power, because they will give their power into this beast system and be ruled by 10 different kings or rulers or men. But so you see then, if the woman is pregnant now, the church is it's something new is coming forth in the church now. If that is happening, then the things that we are looking at out there, that is the beast. That United Nations is the beast, right there, united as they are there, but it is kind of democratic. So at the moment they don't seem to carry much power, but they are going to be persecuting the Christians from coast to coast. Can you imagine that Swaggart was preaching nothing but Bible?
Yeah.
Believe you me, he was preaching on a certain level down there, but he was preaching, he was not saying one word that was not scriptural. That he must be born again, or you cannot see the kingdom of God. That then he said, if Mother Teresa isn't born again, she's going to hell. If the Pope isn't born again, he's going to hell. Amen. Hallelujah. In spite of all the charity and whatever you are, you must be born again. That's a simple, basic ABC of the gospel that any child could know. They took him off. The distinction goes to New York. That New York was the first radio station that took him off. But the Catholic priest came on the television and he said, that man must be stopped. Did you hear him? Oh God, I couldn't believe it. That man must be stopped at all costs. I was shocked to hear him say those words on television. Must be stopped at all costs. Then the radio station laughed their tails on it. And got him out. And the shocker of all shockers, CBN, Christian Broadcasting Network in Atlanta, cut him.
That just goes to prove the persecution is from within too.
But that's, you see, the people that we're going to church with, The Bible said that the enemies will be what? Of your own household.
So what should we do?
We should just keep going on. Keep going on. Don't back off. Or else you're going to go on the other side also and start persecuting one another. See, he said he came to send a sword. And wherever there is carnality, sisters and brothers, it's going to, the sword is going against carnality. Mm-hmm. Against sin. And if the sin is in your own life, it's going to go against your own life. And if it is in your house, it's going to go against your house. Mm-hmm. So this is the story. And this is the condition. We need to know for sure that this is the end. We need to know for sure that this is the end of time, and we're not entering into a paradise having a good time, but things are going to get worse and worse and worse. God showed me tribulation start from 1970, and it has been getting worse and worse. You check back and see if from 1970 every year hasn't got worse and worse and worse. Mm-hmm. 1984 will be worse than any other year that you have ever seen. Mm-hmm. See, and it started out with the persecution on the church. Imagine a judge has power in the United States to arrest the fathers, take them off their jobs, arrest them, throw them in prison, and tell them they will not come out until they submit to taking their children out of the school.
But yet still they say we have freedom of speech.
You have the right to teach your own child. This is the God-given right that God has given us. The little children, my little baby, just talking grandchildren, come home cursing four-letter words. Where did you get that teacher? Teacher said it.
Yeah.
And these are the things that are being done in our land. Our children are being corrupted from the cradle by the things we call teachers. The spirits that inhabit the teachers are being let loose on the children, and they are making laws to prevent us from taking our children away from them. No, in the slavery, when the South was really giving the people a hard time, one of the songs that the blacks began to sing was, "Lord, let me go away. Let me go away from the Mississippi. Let me go." That's the kind of feeling you have, that you'd like to run and find some place. But where will you run to? Jesus. Jesus Christ. You hear me? Jesus Christ is the only way. I don't know how these kids survive. But any kid that survived the high school and the college, you're a survivor. You better believe it. God must do something special to you to survive the sexual revolution out there. Because everything is being turned upside down by the demon spirits that inhabit this nation and this generation of people all over the world. And God is saying to his people, you are at war. The sword is in your homes. The sword is upon carnality. And it is in your homes. It is in your schools. It is in your churches. It is everywhere. And there is no escape but to stand up and fight.
Yeah.
In the name of Jesus.
Yes.
The persecution, Satan's methods all along from the very beginning, when he cannot catch you to do his will, he attacked you physically. Oh yes, he is sending physical attack now against the church, that means that he is frightened. He knows that his time is short.
Amen.
He knows that the time has come for the sons of God to cast him out of the kingdom and to take the kingdom. And he is frightened.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, it's a panic attack. He is attacking openly. Look at what's happening in Ireland. Huh? Do you know how many innocent Christians are being killed and shot down? Huh? By both sides. By both sides. You have some say they are Catholics and some say they are Protestants, and they are fighting one another. But they are also killing those who are innocently loving God. And the persecution and the imprisonment that is going on over there, we haven't heard half of it. And it's neither Catholics nor Protestants fighting. Did you know that? Oh no. It's a political demon over there using Catholics and Protestantism. Take the problem in Beirut. The problem is so vicious, and you hear that Druze and Shiite Muslims are fighting against Christians, and it's not true. On the Christian side, you have Shiites fighting. Oh yes, you have Muslims fighting with the Christians against others. The whole story is that it's being instigated by Satan, and they have communists there working night and day, stirring up people, and they put out that as a front, but they are fighting. Every time you get somebody to stop fighting, somebody else starts fighting. The whole story is just the horror of the end time. And what they're talking about, terrorism and all that sort of thing, they are trying to provoke us to be as vicious as they are. That's all he wants. Oh yes, they just want to provoke everybody to get mad and to do horrible things. So when you think of where we are, you need to understand this morning that we are nearer there than we have been thinking. The very stir of the spirit that you feel, it is a sign of the end time. Because everybody, all the Christians everywhere, are feeling the stir of the spirit. The birth of the man child is coming forth in us. There is something new coming in us, and something old is being cast out.
Praise God.
See what I mean? And as it happens, you see the persecution begin. The nations basically are against Christians. Mm-hmm. All the nations are against Christianity. I don't know if you realize what happened here a couple months ago. And of course, they seem to be able to quash down these things and don't let you hear. And people like me go around telling you. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. In Guatemala, there was a Christian charismatic spirit baptized head of state. He was the president of Guatemala. And the Pope went down to visit him, and he refused to bow to the Pope and he treated him like an ordinary person. And the Pope had some harsh words against him. And lo and behold, one of his generals came to the United States. And what kind of arrangement he made, nobody knows. And he went around and arranged with a few nations. He went to Panama. And he went right back and arrested the Christian brother, throw him in jail and take over the government. And America agreed with him.
Wow.
Oh yes. And they said that one of the reasons they agree with him, the man was having prayer meetings inside of the chamber, the council chamber, and he was putting all his Christians in positions.
Wow.
Oh yeah. and you could see the Antichrist movement. They were all against Christ. That's what who they were against. See, but they got him out. I don't know if they've let him out of prison yet. See what I mean? This is where we are. Oh yes, this is where we are. Immediately, the man actually came and told us he was going to do it. And everybody agreed with him, and he went right down there and deposed the Christian president. But my opinion is that a president cannot be Christian. I mean, in a sense, you can be an ordinary one of the Christians that don't follow Christ. In other words, God just saved you by his blood, and you accept his blood, and you get saved by his blood, but you're not following him. But to be a real born again, spirit filled, Jesus led person, it's an entirely different thing. The things you have to do in that kind of job, I don't see how you could continue with the Lord. You'd have to turn the whole nation upside down. Praise be to God. I'm saying, beloved ones, and I'm going to close on this note, that we are heading into a 1984 persecution that we have never seen before. You know they persecute you always? They persecute you from the IRS? If you watch what's going to happen to Jimmy Swaggart's business, you watch the attack that Jimmy Swaggart is going to come under. Don't you remember a couple of years ago it was Rex Humbard that they attacked? Oh yeah, he had to come in live. They attacked Jim Baker, and they almost put him out of business. But the truth is, they're going to either get those men to bow to them and do what they want and keep in line, or they're going to attack them. But you notice how silent they are about Jimmy Swaggart. Have you heard anybody going on his side? Have you heard any? You know why? Guess why? Nobody will go on Jimmy Swaggart's side. Because, yeah, because he went against the Catholic. He went against a powerful thing that they say at all costs they must have this ecumenism now. They must have all the churches coming into one under the Pope now, at all costs. Those were the words that were used. At all costs. And if that is the case, then you're in trouble.
Oh yeah.
They're going to be after us as soon as they find out that, you see, we are a small fry. Yeah. Praise God for small fry. Right. They'll never swallow us. They'll never be able to swallow us. If we remain in Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. we'll never compromise.
Mm-hmm.
But your heart is going to pain you to see the compromising that's going to go on out there with the different churches and the different groups. Because if you have so many million-dollar buildings and you have so much programs and so much satellites and everything, and they are going to cut you off if you don't bow, you're going to bow. And we see them start bowing already. Because if those satellite ministries cannot stand up behind Jimmy Swaggart and say that's gospel, amen?
Amen.
It means they have started to bow.
Yeah.
Back off. And a lot of the monies that you are sending to these people are not serving, worshiping God. It's not, you're not getting hay. You get a little hay and a wood and stubble from God, but you're not getting gold and precious stones. And so this is where we are, and this is a little word God brought to me this morning.
about...
That was a little. Praise the Lord.
Oh, praise God. It does look like a little morsel for me that he just dropped that in. If you cannot deny mother and father. And you know, the Bible is so marvelous. When the Bible says deny mother and father, that's not exactly what it means. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean just mother and father. But mother and father are so precious. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And that it's just going to the extreme. Mm-hmm. But there are many little things between mother and father. and nothing. See? So God is saying, if you cannot deny these for Christ's sake, you're not worthy of the kingdom. God bless you. God bless you. The church appointed to persecution is the church that we are seeing now. And we are thanking God that we live to this hour. God bless you. We can continue to feast with one another if there are any more words to come or questions to ask. Yes.
What was that scripture, Matthew, what that we were just reading?
10.
Just a thing that a man against his father, a daughter against his mother, a daughter-in-law against the mother-in-law. Is there any reason it leaves out a wife and a husband? Or does it kind of give a sword to come away?
Praise God. Well, I think, the Lord just didn't want to put that in there because it would be probably taken wrongly. You see what I mean? But he said your household. You see, the sword is definitely against the wife and the husband. Because if one lives in carnality and the other one has turned your heart and mind to Jesus Christ, it is horrible, it is difficult. You know, I think of some women having to stand a man who drinks. And he comes and he breathes all that drinking breath on you. And he kisses you with that drinking breath. And the cigarette. And there's nothing smells so bad as cigarette when you don't smoke. You know, a person starts smoking in this house and the whole house. And when you come in here and you walk out, you ever go into the buildings, the bank building? I come out of a bank building and come into the car and may say, you've been smoking? You know, oh man, you smell, bring the whole thing on your clothes. Can you imagine something so strong that remains on your clothes? The car, you ever bought a used car and work on it for 6 months to get the cigarette out of it?
Yeah.
You know, things like that. So, for women to stand these things, it's marvelous. God must give you special strength. You know, and yet, the women of God have been living with it and working with it and loving the person and putting all that aside and still loving the person and be able to live with it. And but the sword is there. God is saying, don't back down from your righteousness. You know, I knew of a case we had in one body, one group, that here were some ministering to the sister. You must stay with your husband. You must this and you must that and you must that. That is all good. But the man was using her homosexually. The man was a homosexual and he was using the wife. And while she would stay with him on those conditions, he would stay with her. Otherwise, he will leave her. And some were being beaten and so on. The ministry, the elders of the church had to get together and said, leave. Get out of it. You cannot submit to that. And you know, there are other cases in between. That's the extreme. But there are other cases in between that the women have to put up with. And there must be a point where the line is drawn. You just cannot go into that. Because your whole spirit and consciousness has been changed by Jesus Christ. You cannot submit to certain things down there. So, it's a sword. There's warfare, sister. And you work with it for years, and you pray, and you believe God, and there must be a point where you say, no. There was a sister whose husband was going out, going with another woman. And then it wasn't just another woman, it was another one, and another one. And in days like these, when herpes and all that kind of thing is so widespread, you know, they say so many percentage of the people have this thing. How can a sister continue to give herself to a husband who is doing things like that? No. Draw the line. Draw the line. Something must happen. You must either go to one way or the other. But you cannot just to retain a man. Do that. You're going to have to love him and let him go. If he is already gone to other women, he has broken the marriage contract. I don't say you must move out. I'm not saying that women must move out. But you must not participate with him unless he has promised to stop. And these are down to earth things that the women ought to know, and that we need to talk amongst ourselves. And some of the women meetings, when you have women meetings, these are the things you should talk among yourselves. Because I have known of one woman who won her case just through that. When she refused to submit, the man backed down and came back home and stayed home. See what I mean? It's not that he might not miss again, but you know, he came to it that this was pretty bad. Because you see, people are not, when a man is hungry and he goes and steals food, you can sympathize with him because he was hungry. But this is a spirit. It's not these men don't have any needs. They have their wives at home. They don't have any needs. See? So, I didn't know if your question meant that I should go that far. But these are the serious things that we should talk in church. Oh, yeah. We are one in the Lord, and we should talk among one another these circumstances. And help people to work out their problems at home, because there is war everywhere.
Would you say that was a deliberate war at home? Because the other person, say one has to come in.
Yes, it's caused by that. The more you go into God, the hotter the battle will get, and you must either win or disengage. That's going to happen sooner or later. And a lot of people are winning. I want you to know that. There are a lot of women who are winning their war.
I mean, wait a minute, I guess I'm saying. Well, you say they're women, right?
Yeah.
Well, why does the man say that?
No, well, the most problem and most times it's the women that have the problem. The God called women first. Women are always in the forefront of the things of the spirit, and then the men generally come in afterwards. sometimes, very rarely, you find a man first, then the woman come up.
I just saw a question that when I do hear of it, you know.
Yeah.
And then I begin to read on it.
You see, the woman's heart is easier to go after Jesus. Mm-hmm. The woman will pick up a spirit quicker than the man, whether it be a good spirit or it be a bad spirit. You see, the woman will go first as far as spirits are concerned. That's the reason why the woman should not head the church. You shouldn't have a woman who is the leader. If a woman is the leader, you're in trouble, because spirits are going to take a hold of her. See?
All right, then. What's taking a man so long to come in there? You know what I mean? if God made him boss, you know, so to speak, on our own thing, which is true, then why is it that he's not trying to come into his leadership like he's supposed to? So he doesn't have all this problem.
If I tell you the truth, you wouldn't believe it.
Praise the Lord.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, really.
Yeah,
like, no.
Yeah, it might open our eyes.
Well, sometimes the woman is not moving deep enough in the spirit. Mm-hmm. That's why the man won't come. If you touch heaven, if you really touch heaven and hold on to the hem of God's garment, God will root that man out. I mean,
no,
with power.
Why? Look like I'm trying to say. Look like you're blaming woman to bring man in. You see what I'm trying to say? Look like you. The way it's going now, you're blaming the woman to bring the man in to God.
Okay. Okay.
What I'm saying,
it's really not a blame. It's a fact of life. God called the woman first because she can hear him easier. You know. She is more on the side. You see, when God made man, he made one being. He didn't make a man and a woman. He made one. And in that one being, there was the woman and the man. So he separated, cut his side, and he took out all the women organs, the woman, everything. And he took out a rib, and he made another being. So this other being had another nature, different from the other, but there are two parts of a whole. So this is one half, and this has another nature. And this nature is a nature that will submit to the spirit much easier. This is a harder nature. But God made this harder nature so that he could stand when time gets rough and a man stand with you, you will know that you need him. You see what I mean? Spiritually speaking. So God made those two natures to function as one to create a strength that we would never have unless we were together.
Amen.
Now, you then, you're only half of a person. If you don't have the man with you, your strength is somewhat weakened. So God then is moving on you. It's like you get a toe hole. Now you push a foot into the door. You see, God's working on the woman so that the woman may fight the forces that are holding the man. Now these forces are strong. So therefore the woman has to go deeper in the spirit and deeper in the spirit and deeper in the spirit. And once she hit that mark, that man must come.
Amen.
I mean, there's no way for him. He's either going to go or come.
Amen.
And this is the story, the whole story.
All right, go back to Adam and Eve, right?
Yes.
Now, he made man before he made woman.
No, they were both one. They were both in
No,
man.
I'm talking about when being made. That woman
made
came after.
The physical,
right.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking in the Bible here.
Yeah.
The woman did not come at the same time man was created.
He made both of them in one person. In other words, the scripture said, and in the day God made Adam, he called their names Adam. So it was Mr. Adam and Mrs. Adam, but he made them into one being. Then he separated them, put a body, give Eve a body. You see, an Adam, a body. Okay, so then let's say he made man first. Then okay, the physical man was made first. Okay.
All right. Then I was understood that man had dominion.
Yes.
Woman.
Well, no. Now that's where you make a mistake. The word man there had dominion. It means human beings. So both Adam and Eve had dominion over all the creatures.
Because they were one then.
They were one. You see, they worked together.
But there is something that we have to remember, that they lost their dominion. They lost the dominion by submitting to...
to the devil. When Eve submitted to the devil, we lost everything.
So it's a restoration.
Restoration in
God's
Christ.
Order. God in putting his seal on marriage and the union, say it is like Christ and the church.
Mm-hmm.
But if I may say, the situation with the struggle with women having to be struggling with an unsaved husband, or a husband dragging his feet, mm-hmm. or half in half. So is greater than men. You have in a lot of cases, as soon as the man accepts the Lord,
the woman will follow.
Will follow if their situation at home is right, and sometimes it corrects it. Most times it corrects it.
Mm-hmm.
But and so you have more women who have to be standing and fighting alone with either totally unsaved men, half saved, quarter saved,
three-quarter saved,
and all the problems. You'll find that a woman will go hook, line, and sinker after the thing, good or evil. Full blast. Whereas the man will hesitate, he will wait, he will
watch
think about it, he'll watch it, and so on. And that's the nature.
Yeah.
Yes, mm-hmm. and so it is.
It's a protection.
No, it is I always say that it is a shame to the men when the women have to get up and take the active part in a meeting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I always feel that it's a shame to the men,
mm-hmm.
because it's not God's perfect order.
That's right.
God's order is that the men will, and one of the reasons that will even drive them further is that they will stand by and see all the weaknesses of the women.
Mm-hmm.
All the weaknesses. And they will, that will kind of keep them from coming forth too.